About a month or so ago, we began a new sermon series called Family Matters. And I had told you that as we were planning that as a staff, that we had decided this particular series, we didn't want it just to come from me as the pastor, although I brought the first four messages, but we wanted to hear from different staff members. And so last week, Pastor Jan brought a very heavy but important topic to us. Next week, Pastor Henry and Emma are going to be team preaching and bringing another very important topic to us along the lines of forgiveness and reconciliation and working out those problems, and we're really looking forward to that. But today we have a special guest with us. Nathaniel is going to preach to us today. And that was his mom, just so you know. Nathaniel is a young man that we are very, very proud of. Not in his earliest age, but once he got past that, he grew up in this church. I was talking with Lisa this morning, his mom, and I said, what age was Nathaniel when you guys came to this church, became members here, regular attenders? And she said, I think he was about 10. And so he is a part of our children's program, and he was not only in the children's program, but he was part of the leadership of the children's program, was actively involved. And the same was true in his all of his years through youth. And all along that way, he decided he wanted to be instrumental. So he started teaching himself different instruments. How many instruments do you play now, Nathaniel? 13. And got involved with our worship even as a teenager. We were very, very sad when he told us that he felt like God was leading him to go off to college instead of to go near here. And so he, for a little over a year or so, he went down south to college, and he went to Bible college because he is going to be a minister. He's going to be a music minister, at least that's the initial plan, but he's going to be a minister. So he went off to college, and then when COVID hit, he had to come home. And when things lightened up, he was faced with a choice. Do I go back to college where I was, or do I do something else to pursue my dreams and my desires to serve God in ministry? And we had some great conversations, and he made the decision. By the way, when he came home from COVID, it was a blessing to us. We needed that extra help, and he came in and took over the worship and instituted a number of things that have really helped us with our ministry during COVID, with the live stream and the media, and instituted teams and things we didn't have in place yet. And so anyway, when he was contemplating that decision and conversations together, he says, you know what, I'm going to stay here and keep giving to my home church, and I'll pursue the rest of my education here, which he's been doing, and been doing very, very well. He's been getting B's in all his classes. And so we anticipate that probably sometime in the spring, he will be eligible to apply for his minister's credentials, and will be awarded those. But he serves now as our worship and media director for our church, and we are so glad he does. And so today we're going to hear about some things that have to do with family matters from the perspective of a younger person. And we've talked about it quite a bit. He's got some good things to share with us today. So I hope you guys will really keep your ears open and say, God, how does this apply to me? Nathaniel, we're proud of you and we love you.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Thank you. Good morning, church. Good morning. First, I just want to say thank you, Pastor Tim and Pastor Jan, for this opportunity to bring the word this morning. This morning, we're just going to be continuing our Family Matters sermon series. And my sermon today is titled, What We Wish You Knew. Now, before your mind goes off thinking of what that means exactly, I just want to say this message comes from the perspective of young people and what we want the older generation to know. Now, your mind may start wondering, great, now this is just a message about some complaints from young people. It's not. But I want to encourage you and challenge you to have an open mind and hear this message. It has a lot of truths that are important for us to hear today. I'm going to be reading in Titus chapter 2. I'm going to go from 1 to 8. I'm reading from the NLT version. And we're going to start there and then we're going to pray. Give you a couple of seconds to turn or swipe. All right. If you got it, say amen. That was a couple people. I'll wait just a little bit longer. All right. Is everybody there or almost there? All right. If you don't already, we'll just catch up. It's really short. So, starting with verse 1, once again, I'm reading in the NLT version. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truths so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. That is the reading of the word of the Lord. And if you would bow your heads with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to be able to speak to your people. Father God, I ask you to open the ears and the minds of your people this morning to hear this message, to grasp it and really comprehend it. Father God, I pray all these things with no other name but Jesus. And we all say amen. Amen. All right, my focus verses for today, even though it was from verse 1 to 8, I'm going to be focusing on verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. And I'll read those over again just really quick for you. Verse 4 says, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. All right. For this morning's sermon, last week, I asked some young people and some friends from college the topic of this message and what their feedback of was it. And so these were some things that they said of what they want the older generation to know about the young people. One person said, focus on the positive, not the negative. Give props to whom it's due. Another person said, remember, I'm not you. Another person said, really understanding the importance of really hearing what we're saying and not trying to jump to fix them and vice versa. Talk to us about the important topics, not yell. Thank you for the gratitude. Thank you for everything you have done for us, because sometimes we forget to show our gratitude. Another person said, what we want you to know is how lost we feel in this world. Another person said, just because we're trying to explain something to you doesn't mean we're trying to argue or be disrespectful with you. And lastly, another person said, talking to him about the cost of living, it is harder to retain jobs that are paying us a livable wage while not requiring you to have a master's in the field that you are working in. And the last person said was communication, how to communicate the best way and not getting upset so quickly. Now, before you start thinking, some of those were really direct. So for the parents that have young people in here, please do not go asking if that was you for what they said. All right? Okay. So I have 4 points this morning, 4 main points, and I'm going to go into in-depth, and I have some scriptures that will back it up, and then I have 6 ways, 6 takeaways that we can take away from those 4 points in this sermon today. My first point is actively listening. Actively listening. What does that mean to actively listen? The meaning of actively listening means, as its name suggests, actively listening. This is fully concentrating on what is being said rather than just passively hearing the message of the speaker. Active listening involves listening with all senses. Now, you can't listen with touch, and you can't listen with taste, but by the all senses, it means that you're giving an eye attention. Your eyes are focused on them. Your ears are listening to what they're really saying. And I want to go to James chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." 2 Sundays ago, I believe it was, Pastor Tim brought the message of understanding and being understood. And one of the things that he mentioned was actively listening. This is how Family Matters sermon series ties all together. Actively listening. As the older generation, this may be a big thing for the younger generation, is listening. You may have more wisdom or greater knowledge, understanding on what the specific topic may be, but we may do too. Yes, of course it's going to be different from your way, but I just want to encourage you to take a step back and fully listen and understand and engage in what is being said, because it still may lead to the same outcome as what you may have. So, I'll give it to you like this. If you were solving a math equation, and you were trying to solve for X. Now, I'm not going to go give an equation because I'm terrible at math. But if you're trying to, I understand the basics. If you're trying to solve for X, you have to do the same thing to the one side as you do to the other side. And even though you may divide to get the answer, you may multiply to get the same answer. There's many different steps to take, but the answer is still correct. I also want to show you guys this. So I have this board. Pastor Henry, we're going to put everything back on here, okay? All right? I just needed the board. All right? So I'm going to take this marker, and I'm going to write something. Just give me 1 second. It's not very clear, but I think we need to get some more better markers. But it's also on the screen. So if you can go to that next slide. Preparedness. That's what I'm talking about. If you guys can see this, what is this on the board? It says a 6. For those who can't see it, if you could turn your attention to the screen, what's up on the board? Okay. If I go like this, what is it now? Okay, so this is exactly what I'm talking about when I say perspectives. Perspective is all about how you are looking at the situation. If you're standing on this side, you're seeing a 6. But if you're standing on the other side, you're seeing a 9. So what does this mean? Sometimes it may not always be that way, where you're looking at 2 different perspectives and it's the same thing. Sometimes it's different. It's not the same thing. The way how you're trying to explain something to your daughter or son, and they're not understanding it. They may be not looking at it at the same way that you're looking at it. But you would want to know where our minds are trying to go. But what you have to do is you have to actively listen. You have to ask questions. Engage in what they're trying to say. One thing we can do is we can pray and ask God to really hear what they're trying to say. And this goes for young people as well. Young people, when you're trying to speak to your parents and you're trying to do something, make a decision or anything, give them all the information. Tell them what they need to know. Because as soon as you say, I want to go out with my friends, as a parent, what are you guys going to think? Who friend do you have? What's their name? Sorry, I went a little Caribbean. Who friend do you have? What's their parents' name? Where are you going? What are you doing? How much is it going to cost? Right? You start to ask all these things, all different types of scenarios may come into your head. Oh, they're going down the 200 and a giraffe walks out in the street and get into a car accident. Some situations aren't that drastic. But just when parents hear those things and they don't hear the exact information, all of the information that's not there because you didn't give them all of the information, they're just making the decision based off of what you told them. So this falls on both sides, actively listening. We need to listen to both sides. We need to explain both sides, so that we're understanding the same perspective. And so that when we're looking this way, we're seeing the six, and you're looking this way, you turn it around, and you still see the six. All right? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. But I just want to encourage you today, young people, with this verse, 1 Timothy 4 verses 12. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Amen. Don't be so quick to tell us what to do when something goes wrong or to shut down a suggestion or decision that we may have. Sometimes letting us live and learn from our mistakes or what you may think is a mistake will teach us more than yelling or forcefully telling us what to do. I said it again. Sometimes letting us live and learn from our mistakes or what you may think is a mistake will teach us more than yelling and forcefully telling us what to do. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to listen, to actively listen. And there could be a potential lesson to learn from this, from both sides. Amen. My next point for this morning is tactfully pray. To tactfully pray. What does it mean to tactfully pray? First, we have to understand what the meaning of tactfully means. Tact, and when I searched this up on the internet, it didn't give me an exact meaning, so I had to break down the word and use tact. So when I searched for the word tact, tact means a keen sense of what to do or say in order to maintain good relations with others or avoid offense. So when we add the fully, tactfully, pray, it falls into an adverb. Now, for all of my English majors, an adverb, or for non-English majors, an adverb is a part of speech that provides greater description to a verb. So we're tactfully praying. When we're praying, when we're going to the Lord in prayer about any situation, about our young people, we need to go to the Lord praying tactfully. And what I mean by this is when we're praying for someone, when we're praying for the younger generation, we have to understand, I'll just say this, the younger generation is a little more sensitive. We tend to have a lot more emotion on things than the older generation. So when we're praying, I want to encourage you to keep that in mind. When you're praying for a certain situation, we're focusing on the subject of what we're praying for. We're not praying to condemn them. We're not praying to tell them that they're wrong. We're not praying to tell them that, Lord Jesus, fix them, because if you don't, I will. We're praying so that they would learn. We're praying so that they would grow, so that they will be able to be the great leaders that they are called to be, in Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? So we should tactfully pray in the direction of the younger generation. We are the future, the upcoming leaders, and what that, and with that responsibility, we need the guidance of the older generation to train us and to teach us. Back in the focus verses, that's why I chose those as the focus verses, because it's speaking to the older generation, telling the younger generation that we need guidance. We need to be taught. We need to, the great knowledge and wisdom that your older generation has gained to know over the years, it needs to be passed down. Because if there's no direction, the car, if there's no axle, if there's no steering wheel, the car is just gonna veer left, it's gonna veer right, it's gonna do donuts, right? So that's why we need the older generation to inspire, to teach, to motivate, and to restore. The young people of this generation today are so broken. They are going through so much, more than they express, more than they think they understand. And so we just need to love on everyone, love on the young people. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I think the King James Version says, train up your child in the way that you should go, that, you know, right. That's the version I learned it in. But the point is to train us, train the young people, teach the young people, so that when they get older, they're still doing the things that they were taught. I can think back when I was in college. I'm not sure if this is just a Caribbean thing, but when you're in the kitchen and you have the towel on the stove and you use it to dry your hands after you wash the dishes, I don't know if that, but that's just what I was taught, that it's there, it's only for that purpose. That's when I went to college. And we were in our dorm. They gave us a house. It was a very nice house. But it was, we had to provide our own food. We had a whole living room, a whole kitchen, bedrooms, and all of the nice things. And so one thing that I took with me was everything that I learned. I brought my kitchen towel. It went on the oven. I brought the other different things that I was taught and was raised to do. Now, some other people in the dorm rooms didn't understand that. So the rag, the towel that was used to dry hands, was used to wipe down dirty counters. But the point is train your child up into the way that they should go so that when they get older, they will not depart from it. Teach them the word. Give them inspiration. Give them the word that's going to inspire them to be who they are called to be. This goes back to Pastor Jan's sermon from last Sunday of not what love is not. When you love something, you care for it. You want to give it your all. You want to give everything that it needs to have, right? When you're watering a plant, it needs water, it needs sunlight, it needs food, which the whole photosynthesis process, it grows. But when it doesn't have those things, what does it do? It dies, and then it becomes nothing. So with that in mind, we just need to keep in mind what we are instilling into the young people. Because if they grew up hurt, if they were hurt when they were younger, if they weren't treated right when they were younger, if they weren't told that you are beautiful, you are handsome, you are kind, you are who God called you to be, when they get older, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to think that they're not something. They're going to think that they're not beautiful, that they're not handsome, that they aren't called to be what God called them to be. This is why it's important that we train them up so that they would not leave it when they grow older. When we're tactfully praying, what are we praying for? When you are praying for us, pray that we make wise decisions. Pray that everything we put our hands to do would bring glory and honor to God. That we will be successful. That we would not forget where we came from and the godly things that we were taught growing up. Pray that we would grow financially. Pray that we would not give in to prayer pressure, drugs, alcohol, depression, anxiety, pornography, sex, lying, stealing, cheating, and gang violence. We're tactfully praying. This just reminds me of my grandmother. When I would go to stay with my grandmother in Trinidad, I would be still sleeping. But at 5 o'clock in the morning, she would always wake up early to go pray outside in her gallery. What was she praying for? She was tactfully praying that we would not give in to drugs, that we would not give in to alcohol, that we would not give in to depression, that we would not give in to anxiety, pornography, sex, lying, stealing, cheating, and gang violence. What was she doing? She was calling on God to protect the people that she loved. She was tactfully praying that as we are going through this thing we call life, that we are staying on the narrow path. She is tactfully praying on my behalf that I will be who I was called to be. That I would be a great musician. She loved to listen to me play music. She prayed for me every morning, and she told me this every time she spoke to me, that she prayed for me every morning that I would just be who God called me to be and never forget what I was taught growing up. Why is this important? Because just like the plants, if they aren't being growth the proper way, it won't be anything. It'll be a dead plant. But if we love, if we nurture, if we are tactfully praying, if we are actively listening, if we are inspiring, they will grow into something great. We are pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The things that we face as young people today, we need more prayer than ever before. And I would just want to speak to the young people once again to stay in the Word. I want to encourage you not to read a whole book, but to just start small. Get into the Word. It's growing you. It's speaking life to you. It's telling you who you are called to be. So I want to encourage you to stay in the Word this morning and tactfully pray. My third point this morning is to support and motivate. Support and motivate. What does it mean to support and motivate? This just means simply having our backs, pushing us to work harder, to achieve more, and to do better. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25 tells us, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." This also falls into my fourth point, but I'm not getting there yet. But that is the reason why we are here, why we gather here, is to fellowship with one another, to grow with one another. In First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." Why is it important to motivate one another? This just makes me think of, I know some of you may have children and some may have grandchildren, but have you ever been to a game, a sports game, whether it be basketball, football, soccer, tennis, cricket, right? I don't know about golf, but I guess we could count that. When you were there, and it was young people playing, not older people playing, but it was young people playing. When you were there, and I don't know if this was you, but have you ever seen those parents who are in the stands, and they are the loudest people there? They're louder than the people on the bullhorns. They're like, "That's my baby! That's my daughter, that's my son," right? What are they doing? They're supporting, they're motivating. When Billy was going to the free throw line and he was making the free throw, I'm not good at basketball, I hope this is the right terms. When he's going to the free throw line and he's making the shot, and he doesn't make it, but still, support and motivate. Some parents are still yelling, "Yes, that's my baby! He missed it." But still, support and motivate. This just makes me think back when I was younger and I was in piano lessons, and I would be in the dining room practicing the piano of the different piano music that I was learning at the time, and my mom would be in the kitchen. Now, my mom knows nothing about music, how it goes, what note is where, how it plays, but when I would play a wrong note, she would be in the kitchen, and I would play a wrong note. Start over. She would be motivating me, and that was her way of motivating me and letting me know, you can still do it. It was wrong, but start over. Support and motivate. I have a 5-minute video, 5 minutes and 38 seconds roughly. And it's titled From Right Now Media. And I want to encourage you, if you do not have a Right Now Media to, side commercial. If you do not have Right Now Media, to please get your email to Pastor Tim, and he will get you set up to get on Right Now Media. It has tons of really good videos, short videos, sermons, videos for kids, great content. It's like Christian Netflix, for those who have Netflix. All right? It's really good, and I want to encourage you guys to do that. So I have a video from there today, and it's titled What Parents Need to Know. So let's go ahead and watch that video.
In having three middle schoolers, the running joke around our house is that we live with a youth group because we have four kids, three biological, one adopted, and there's 2.5 years from our youngest to oldest biologically in our household. And so we kind of have gotten bombarded with every phase of life all at the same time. They were all babies, they were all toddlers, they were all preschoolers, and now we get the joy of all in junior high, and soon, just in a little while, next year, moving towards high school. And so I think what we've begun to realize, the thing that I wish that parents knew about their kids is that, first of all, that each child really is created uniquely and differently, that we can't parent each child exactly the same. They were created with a unique personality that is theirs, unique strengths that are theirs, and just a unique way of being that are theirs. I would just challenge parents when you say, well, my child is just difficult, are they acting out really? Or is it just that they have a strong personality and they're trying to figure out the world around them? I would also just challenge parents to really know that your kids need you. They don't stop needing you. I believed that at one period of time, and now as they get older, and especially we have a 21-year-old, with our 21-year-old, she's still looking to us to coach her and to help her. It's different than it was when she was younger, but now she still wants us to pour into her life. And kids just need incredible amounts of affirmation. And that gets exhausting. It gets exhausting for my husband and I. There's one day we were driving along in the car, and one of the things, one of our kids, you know, we were just affirming one of our kids, hey, you're a really great singer. And so another one of our kids was like, that means I'm a horrible singer. Oh, I'm fat. And they just started beating themselves up. And I'll admit, in one of my poorer parenting moments, I just kind of exasperatedly said, okay, guys, I'm going to tell you, let's just celebrate you. If you're fat or you're thin and you're great at sports, you're horrible at sports, you're a great singer, you're a horrible singer, you're a great artist, you're short, you're tall, whatever you are, yay, that's what you are. And they laughed because they knew I was being ridiculous. But it did really, even as I did it, I realized there's just such a, this is such a period of time where they're just so trepidatious and things are so difficult and they're trying so hard to just appear, get it together and appear together, that they need us to constantly tell them they're loved. And, you know, just in the old adage, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and we like you. No matter what, we, your parents, we do, we like you. And I think what makes discipleship difficult, though, in this day and age for parents of teenagers is that we'd love to believe there's just one thing that we get to deal with at a time. Like, you can buy a book that says, you know, this is how you talk to your children about social media, and this is how you navigate whether or not they get into, they're watching the wrong things on television or finding the wrong things on cable, and this is how you navigate this. And I will often joke, we need a book that talks about how do you navigate it all at the same time every 2 minutes of the day. It's not just let's talk about your faith. It's all integrated together. We're talking about faith in every moment of the day, in every context. How does your faith have to do with your friends and with what movies you watch and what television shows you watch and what you read and what music you listen to and who you talk to and who you want to date and whether or not we're going to ever let you date before you're 50 years old and all of those things. It makes discipleship complicated, but just because it's complicated doesn't mean we're supposed to stop doing it. It just means that we have to be creative with each individual child and with our children and just take the time that when we are tired, just like Christ said, to take back, take a breath, but to keep speaking and speaking truth into their lives and to not worry so much about messing up, because I believe that God is big enough to just redeem any ways that we mess up in the lives of our kids. And one thing that I would say, if we could do anything for our kids in discipleship, is to say, I'm sorry when we're wrong, and say, I don't know when we don't know the answers, and to continue to say, I love you. They want to know that we're not perfect and that we're just trying on this journey with Christ with them and that we're all navigating it really together.
Amen. Amen. So it is very important to support and motivate. I have something that I got from a column on ink.com that really, it's very good. So it says, you will get far more value back from young people if you work with them and encourage them to find their own voice, do their own thing unselfishly, because young people will discover a lot about themselves in the process, create more value for themselves, and ultimately be a more valuable resource to you. Sure, but it's about more than that. It creates a relationship with each in which they see you and trust you as a friend. They want to work with you because you've given them that space to explore. As a church, we need to support and motivate the young people in our generation. But not just here. We need to leave these four walls and be a support system for these next leaders of this nation. Whether you're watching, wherever you're watching today, I want to encourage you to do the same. Wherever you are, be a support system for somebody, for a young person of this great nation. My fourth point is cultivate a meaningful relationship. What does it mean to cultivate a meaningful relationship? That means we build bonds with each other. We love on each other. We spend time with each other. And why is this important? It's because, yeah, it's what Christ instructed us to do. But not only that, but when we have a relationship with each other, it's easier to know what to tactfully pray for and how to support and motivate. So that when you're praying, you can call them by name and lift their situation up in prayer. When you have that relationship with a friend, of course they're going to come and tell you what's going wrong or different things because you have a relationship. You're communicating. You know them, and they know you. And so when you have that relationship, you are now able to pray specifically. It's always good to just pray. We're supposed to never stop praying, pray without ceasing. But when you pray specifically for a specific need, I'm not saying God will, work faster. But when you pray for that specific need, it does something. It just shows the bond that's there. You're calling their name out by name. Praying for Billy. I'm praying for Billy. Father God, I ask you that you would strengthen him. Give them the knowledge that he needs when he's doing his schoolwork with the X and the Y's and the B's and all of that stuff. Praying specifically for what they need and what they're going through. Find out. This goes back to actively listening. You can't do this without actively listening. You have to actively listen to find out what the problem is so then you can tactfully pray, so you can support and motivate them, so then you can have that cultivating relationship to then go back and pray specifically for their need. Amen? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 says, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." We need to share what we know. What we know is very valuable as the older generation. You guys know how to write a checkbook. You guys know what to do when you're looking for a car. You guys know what to do when you're looking for a house. Share that knowledge. Because if the young people don't have that knowledge, they will be lost. When your daughter may come home and says, "Oh, I like a boy." And you're a mother. I'm sure you know how that is because you were once young. Share with them. Teach them on how to have a godly relationship and the right relationship. And just give them great knowledge that's going to help them. Now, this falls on the young people as well. You have to actively listen. You have to actively listen. Just the same way as Jesus was to his disciples, passing down his knowledge, teaching them, training them up to carry out the Great Commission. Just how it was with Paul and all the lives that he saved through Christ. One person that comes to my mind was what we learned about in my last class in hermeneutics was in Philemon, when he was writing a letter to, Paul was writing a letter to Philemon, and about Onesimus. He was a slave. to Philemon, but he had sent him away. And Paul spoke into him. He trained him. He led him to Christ. And Onesimus grew in that. And same with Philemon. Paul did that with Philemon many years ago, but before, Bible years, don't know how many. But he did the same thing with Philemon. And so then when Paul sent Onesimus back, he encouraged and reminded. Paul is very persuasive with his words. He reminded Philemon that he wouldn't be where he is without Paul. If Paul didn't lead Philemon to Christ, Philemon wouldn't be where he was. He wouldn't be with the knowledge that he had and the growth that he had gone through. So Paul reminded Philemon that just where Philemon once was, Onesimus once was, and he had sent him back to Philemon to create that bond, to create that relationship, to continue his growth in Christ. We need to do that as a people. Also with Moses, trained up Joshua. One thing that I love about this church is the love for the younger generation. I'm not bringing this message because there isn't any love. I'm just reminding, encouraging, and challenging to continue doing it or to do it even more. But the love is already there. I love to see, and because it happened with me. I remember Brother Henry always praying for me, always telling me that I'm a man of God and telling me, giving scriptures for me to learn, to apply to my life. We need to continue doing that as a church. I want to encourage you to find a young person, whoever it is. We don't have that many, but we are preparing. They are coming. They will be here, and I want to encourage you to find a young person to create a meaningful relationship, to cultivate a meaningful relationship, to grow, to take them under your wing so that they can have all the knowledge and all the understandings that you do. So that you can love on them, so that you can support and motivate them, and so you can pray for them. And as the worship team comes back up and gets into place, I just have four. I have six, not four. But how can we apply these four takeaways from this message? The first one is, don't just tell us, show us. Don't just talk, listen. Don't just make our decisions for us, teach us how to make those wise decisions. Don't just tell us what, explain why. The fifth one is, don't just tell us what we're doing wrong, tell us what we're doing right. And the last one is, and when we're doing something wrong, tell us in private, not in public, in private. And for the young people, I want to encourage you to do the same. Don't just tell us, show us. Don't just talk, But listen, it goes both ways. There should be a slide that has all of, I think they're all up, so you guys can take, get those notes. But in closing, you may be sitting here today in your seat, and you could be thinking, I'm not sure. What good is this to me? Or why should I listen to this today? Or I didn't learn anything. I already knew that. I just want to challenge you. The young people of today, will be the future. And what they know and how they do things is going to be the leaders, the governors, senators, policemen, firefighters, office workers, nurses, pastors. Wherever they're in the direction that they are going, let there be something that they can take with them, that they never forget, that they never forget when they're older, how to navigate through different situations. I want to encourage you to find somebody to be an inspiration to today. And so if the staff can come up, if everybody can stand to your feet, and the elders and deacons that come up for the prayer this morning, this wasn't a sermon that when you leave here you need healing or you need prayer or anything like that. But I just want to encourage you, the altar is open. The staff and the elders are here to pray with you. If you have any need, you may be standing there and saying, God, please help me to be an inspiration to a younger person. You may be a younger person and you may be thinking, God, please help me to be able to communicate more, to actively listen, and vice versa. But if not, if you want to come down to the altar for healing today, for prayer, on any needs that you have, now is the time to come.
There are those that are still praying. We don't want to disturb them, but we're going to close in prayer. I believe Nathaniel brought us a great word today. We need each other, and our young people need us, those that are older, to pour into them. I hope God has challenged you to do that today with the young people in our church, with the young people in your life. Father God, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place today. And Lord, wherever people have stopped, Lord God, to participate in what we've got going on here, Father, we pray you are at work in each of our lives, in each of the lives of the people that are watching this or listening to this now or later. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to be mindful not only of what's going on in our lives, but of the lives of the people that we influence, Lord God. Our children, our grandchildren, the young people around us, co-workers, friends, neighbors. We have an influence, and I pray that it be a good one, Lord God. But especially within the church, Lord God, give us the opportunity and the privilege to pour into young people's lives. And to give them opportunity to minister, to speak, to play, to sing, to work for your kingdom, that they can grow in their relationship with you. Thank you that we do have that privilege. Father, I pray you'd meet every need, bring healing, strength, wisdom, insight, direction. And Father, again, thank you for meeting with us today. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day and a great week, and make a difference in somebody else's life.